Вариант 2. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Climate change is a real problem, but its importance has been grossly exaggerated. It's a far less important than other social problems such as poverty, infectious diseases, deforestation, and extinction of species, not to mention war, nuclear weapons, and biological weapons. We do not know whether the observed climate changes are, on balance, good or bad for the health of the biosphere. And the effects of atmospheric carbon dioxide as a fertilizer of plant growth are at least as important as its effects on climate. So, we agree that more research is needed to improve scientific understanding of global warming.
Speaker B. Many people have the impression that there is significant scientific disagreement about global climate change. It's time to lay that misapprehension to rest. There is a scientific consensus on the fact that Earth's climate is heating up and human activities are part of the reason. We need to stop repeating nonsense about the uncertainty of global warming and start talking seriously about the right approach to address it. The basic picture is clear, and some changes are already taking place in the Arctic, affecting both human and non-human communities, as predicted by climate models. Speaker C.
I'm not disputing that there has been global warming. There was a lot of global warming in the 1930s and 40s, and then there was a slight global cooling from the middle 40s to the early 70s. And there has been warming since the middle 70s, especially in the last 10 years. But this is natural, due to ocean circulation's changes and other factors. It is not human-induced. Nearly all of my colleagues are skeptical about this whole global warming thing. Well, just because there are two associations changing with the same sign doesn't mean that one is causing the other.
Speaker D.
The impacts of the climate changes that scientists are predicting are being tested in a number of systems. For plants, it seems that elevated levels of carbon dioxide will increase plant biomass, water use efficiency, and reproductive effort. Some experiments have shown that this includes the increase in pollen production. Since some plants have pollen that is highly allergenic, this could mean increased exposure to allergens and an increase in illness for those who are pollen allergic. It remains to be seen whether this increased exposure will also cause an increase in the number of people with allergic diseases.
Speaker E.
The warming in the past several decades has been faster and has risen to higher temperatures than for the previous thousands of years. Rising carbon dioxide levels can easily explain the warming. But there is no alternative explanation that does not involve rising carbon dioxide or predict further warming. Scientists have done their job. It's time now to confront the reality of human-induced climate change resulting from emission of carbon dioxide from fossil fuel consumption. In order to control and avoid the effects of global warming, we must start urgent action to end, or at least reduce it.
Speaker F. We barely notice changes that happen gradually. That's why we accept gradual changes that we would reject if they happened abruptly. Environmentalists despair that global warming is happening so fast. In fact, it isn't happening fast enough to make people worry. If we could jump in a time machine and experience a single day in 2056, we'd return to the present shocked and terrified. The human brain is a remarkable device that was designed to rise to special occasions. Global warming is a deadly threat precisely because it fails to trip the brain's alarm, leaving us soundly asleep in a burning bed. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Climate change is a real problem, but its importance has been grossly exaggerated. It's far less important than other social problems such as poverty, infectious diseases, deforestation, and extinction of species, not to mention war, nuclear weapons, and biological weapons. We do not know whether the observed climate changes are, on balance, good or bad for the health of the biosphere. And the effects of atmospheric carbon dioxide as a fertilizer of plant growth are at least as important as its effects on climate. So, we agree that more research is needed to improve scientific understanding of global warming.
Speaker B. Many people have the impression that there is significant scientific disagreement about global climate change. It's time to lay that misapprehension to rest. There is a scientific consensus on the fact that Earth's climate is heating up and human activities are part of the reason. We need to stop repeating nonsense about the uncertainty of global warming and start talking seriously about the right approach to address it. The basic picture is clear, and some changes are already taking place in the Arctic, affecting both human and non-human communities, as predicted by climate models. Speaker C.
I'm not disputing that there has been global warming. There was a lot of global warming in the 1930s and 40s, and then there was a slight global cooling from the middle 40s to the early 70s. And there has been warming since the middle 70s, especially in the last 10 years. But this is natural, due to ocean circulation's changes and other factors. It is not human-induced. Nearly all of my colleagues are skeptical about this whole global warming thing. Well, just because there are two associations changing with the same sign doesn't mean that one is causing the other.
Speaker D.
The impacts of the climate changes that scientists are predicting are being tested in a number of systems. For plants, it seems that elevated levels of carbon dioxide will increase plant biomass, water use efficiency, and reproductive effort. Some experiments have shown that this includes the increase in pollen production. Since some plants have pollen that is highly allergenic, this could mean increased exposure to allergens and an increase in illness for those who are pollen allergic. It remains to be seen whether this increased exposure will also cause an increase in the number of people with allergic diseases.
Speaker E.
The warming in the past several decades has been faster and has risen to higher temperatures than for the previous thousands of years. Rising carbon dioxide levels can easily explain the warming. But there is no alternative explanation that does not involve rising carbon dioxide or predict further warming. Scientists have done their job. It's time now to confront the reality of human-induced climate change resulting from emission of carbon dioxide from fossil fuel consumption. In order to control and avoid the effects of global warming, we must start urgent action to end, or at least reduce it.
Speaker F. We barely notice changes that happen gradually. That's why we accept gradual changes that we would reject if they happened abruptly. Environmentalists despair that global warming is happening so fast. In fact, it isn't happening fast enough to make people worry. If we could jump in a time machine and experience a single day in 2056, we'd return to the present shocked and terrified. The human brain is a remarkable device that was designed to rise to special occasions. Global warming is a deadly threat precisely because it fails to trip the brain's alarm, leaving us soundly asleep in a burning bed. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A-G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Mary. Congratulations on your new job.
Thanks, Peter. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure I like it.
Oh, come on. Don't complain. You're making a good salary now. Last year, you didn't make anything.
Right. Now I've got money, a nice apartment, and a car, but I haven't got any time to enjoy it all. It's just work, work, and work. I work hard all day, every day.
It can't be all that bad. You can still go to parties, and you can stay up late.
Right. But then I'm tired at work. I can't do that. I have to be serious about things.
I think you're too serious about everything.
That's easy for you to say. Anyway, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm shopping for a new suit. I want to make the best impression possible at my job interviews.
Are you looking for a new job?
Yes, I am. And I'm not doing very well, actually. I can't seem to find a job.
That's too bad. Why did you leave your previous job?
Well, my boss treated me badly, and I didn't like my chances of advancing in the company.
That makes sense. A job without opportunities and a difficult boss isn't very attractive.
Exactly. So, anyway, I decided to quit and find a new job. I sent out my CV to more than 20 companies. Unfortunately, I've only had 2 interviews so far.
Have you tried looking online for a job?
Yes, but so many of the jobs require moving to another city. I don't want to do that.
I can understand that. How about going to some of those networking groups?
I haven't tried those. What are they?
They're groups for people who are looking for work. They help each other discover new opportunities.
That sounds great. I'll definitely try some of them.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure things will look up for you soon.
Yes, you're probably right. I hope so.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hi, Mary. Congratulations on your new job.
Thanks, Peter. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure I like it.
Oh, come on. Don't complain. You're making a good salary now. Last year, you didn't make anything.
Right. Now I've got money, a nice apartment, and a car, but I haven't got any time to enjoy it all. It's just work, work, and work. I work hard all day, every day.
It can't be all that bad. You can still go to parties, and you can stay up late.
Right, but then I'm tired at work. I can't do that. I have to be serious about things.
I think you're too serious about everything.
That's easy for you to say. Anyway, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm shopping for a new suit. I want to make the best impression possible at my job interviews.
Are you looking for a new job?
Yes, I am. And I'm not doing very well, actually. I can't seem to find a job.
That's too bad. Why did you leave your previous job?
Well, my boss treated me badly, and I didn't like my chances of advancing in the company.
That makes sense. A job without opportunities and a difficult boss isn't very attractive.
Exactly. So, anyway, I decided to quit and find a new job. I sent out my CV to more than 20 companies. Unfortunately, I've only had 2 interviews so far.
Have you tried looking online for a job?
Yes, but so many of the jobs require moving to another city. I don't want to do that.
I can understand that. How about going to some of those networking groups?
I haven't tried those. What are they?
They're groups for people who are looking for work. They help each other discover new opportunities.
That sounds great. I'll definitely try some of them.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure things will look up for you soon.
Yes, you're probably right. I hope so.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ писателя о его увлечении музыкой. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. To the outside world, we probably don't sound like much. Failing publicity is the point at Dr. Banjo's Bluegrass Jam Camp, where I've come to strum alongside rank beginners like me, whose families couldn't bear the twanging anymore. My path to musical greatness was diverted roughly 30 years ago. At the age of 11, after 3 years of indentured servitude to my moody piano teacher, I was at the Baldwin Upright when my father and I sang Heart and Soul for the extended family at Thanksgiving dinner. The cheek-pinching afterwards was the final straw. I vowed never to play again. It turned out the joke was on me. In the decades that followed, any urge to express myself musically had to be satisfied in the privacy of my shower or car. And while I could clap, snap, and hit all the high parts of Bohemian Rhapsody, so could a howler monkey. As I approached 40, I felt a craving to actually play something, and not just my iPod. The mandolin looks harmless enough. About the size of a tennis racket, it's easy to get a clear golden sound just by brushing your pick across its 4 sets of double strings. That doesn't mean I didn't feel slightly panicky when my wife surprised me with one, but I was in heaven. I signed up for lessons at a music shop in town and felt deep satisfaction. I was making music. The focus and fancy fingerwork the mandolin demands were a relief from pecking mindlessly at the computer all day. Somehow, the usual anxieties of life, money, status, the possibility of a meteorite landing on my head, didn't matter when every atom of my humanity was focused on mastering the 4-fingered D chord. My sister-in-law, who was dating a professional guitar player, brought him over one evening so we could play together. Part of me still believes my performance was the real reason he never called her again. But that experience got me thinking. What good was banging out songs alone in my living room when I could be inflicting them on complete strangers? When I typed Jam Camp for mandolin players into Google, the first result connected me to Dr. Banjo and his happy circles of hapless beginners. Dr. Banjo has been running camps around the country for bluegrass greenhorns since the early 1980s. It's easier than you think, his website promised. Learn to take your first out-of-the-closet solos. The next thing I remember, I was on an aeroplane trying to shove my instrument case into the overhead bin. There are many ways to grow as a musician, not to mention as a human being. So far this weekend, I've learned the importance of patience, gratitude, humility, resilience, and above all, listening. On the practical level, I've discovered that once you master four basic chords, you can pretty much play along with every song in the bluegrass songbook. I know too that jamming, like life itself, isn't about perfection, but about playing through your mistakes and trusting that you'll get back on track if you just keep up the rhythm. When I actually do fly away, back home to Los Angeles, the world somehow feels like a different place. My older brother, never one to follow my lead, tells me that he, too, has decided to take up the mandolin. Around the same time, two friends, a photographer and a buttoned-up lawyer, showed up at my door with a guitar and a banjo, respectively, asking to play. And last week, my dear sweet Ruth emerged from the other room to say she wants to find the violin she hasn't played for 3 decades. That might not sound like much to the outside world, but it's definitely music to my ears. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again. To the outside world, we probably don't sound like much. Failing publicity is the point at Dr. Banjo's Bluegrass Jam Camp, where I've come to strum alongside rank beginners like me, whose families couldn't bear the twanging anymore. My path to musical greatness was diverted roughly 30 years ago. At the age of 11, after 3 years of indentured servitude to my moody piano teacher, I was at the Baldwin Upright when my father and I sang Heart and Soul for the extended family at Thanksgiving dinner. The cheek-pinching afterwards was the final straw. I vowed never to play again. It turned out the joke was on me. In the decades that followed, any urge to express myself musically had to be satisfied in the privacy of my shower or car. And while I could clap, snap, and hit all the high parts of Bohemian Rhapsody, so could a howler monkey. As I approached 40, I felt a craving to actually play something, and not just my iPod. The mandolin looks harmless enough. About the size of a tennis racket, it's easy to get a clear golden sound just by brushing your pick across its 4 sets of double strings. That doesn't mean I didn't feel slightly panicky when my wife surprised me with one, but I was in heaven. I signed up for lessons at a music shop in town and felt deep satisfaction. I was making music. The focus and fancy fingerwork the mandolin demands were a relief from pecking mindlessly at the computer all day. Somehow, the usual anxieties of life, money, status, the possibility of a meteorite landing on my head, didn't matter when every atom of my humanity was focused on mastering the 4-fingered D chord. My sister-in-law, who was dating a professional guitar player, brought him over one evening so we could play together. part of me still believes my performance was the real reason he never called her again. But that experience got me thinking. What good was banging out songs alone in my living room when I could be inflicting them on complete strangers? When I typed Jam Camp for mandolin players into Google, the first result connected me to Dr. Banjo and his happy circles of hapless beginners. Dr. Banjo has been running camps around the country for bluegrass greenhorns since the early 1980s. It's easier than you think, his website promised. Learn to take your first out-of-the-closet solos. The next thing I remember, I was on an aeroplane trying to shove my instrument case into the overhead bin. There are many ways to grow as a musician, not to mention as a human being. So far this weekend, I've learned the importance of patience, gratitude, humility, resilience, and above all, listening. On the practical level, I've discovered that once you master four basic chords, you can pretty much play along with every song in the bluegrass songbook. I know too that jamming, like life itself, isn't about perfection, but about playing through your mistakes and trusting that you'll get back on track if you just keep up the rhythm. When I actually do fly away, back home to Los Angeles, the world somehow feels like a different place. My older brother, never one to follow my lead, tells me that he, too, has decided to take up the mandolin. Around the same time, two friends, a photographer and a buttoned-up lawyer, showed up at my door with a guitar and a banjo, respectively, asking to play. And last week, my dear sweet Ruth emerged from the other room to say she wants to find the violin she hasn't played for 3 decades. That might not sound like much to the outside world, but it's definitely music to my ears. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.